I fear that we know the Christmas story so well that we do not know it at all. We have read it so often, have heard it read so often, that we have become blind and deaf to its profound truth. And yet every time the story is reenacted, even by children in bathrobes and in cardboard wings, we are presented with a sublime irony. The irony is this. The Christian gospel brings together elements that have never been brought together before. It brings together elements of cradle and king, manger and Messiah, instrument of torturous death, instrument of redemption. The Christmas story is indicative of our strange gospel in that it brings together a variety of characters, common and celestial. This is never more evident in the bringing together of two very different classes of people or classes of beings. We are presented with shepherds on a hillside, ordinary shepherds guarding ordinary sheep, doing a menial job when, boom, suddenly an angel is in their midst, giving them the journalistic scoop of the universe. The Messiah has been born this very night. And suddenly, there is a heavenly choir singing grand themes. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all. Redemption has been established. And they're singing this glorious message to illiterate shepherds, to riffraff. What is God trying to say to us? Take a step back. The entire Christmas story is suffused with the foolishness of God, a foolishness that confounds the wisdom of the wise. Now, you may cringe when I call God foolish, but let's be honest here. If you and I were going to announce the advent of the Messiah, the Savior of the universe, we would enlist a Nobel Prize-winning author, or a celebrated journalist, or at least a famous actor with a Twitter account. We wouldn't choose as our Paul Revere's to the world garbage men, even if we called them sanitation engineers. But that is what God did. There were seven jobs in Jesus' Israel that were considered to render one in the lowest social and religious caste. Doing these jobs rendered you unfit for participation in the religious community, rendered you unfit to go and be included in the temple. Among those seven jobs was shepherd. Shepherds were considered ritually, religiously unclean. And these are the people to whom God sends a heavenly choir to announce the Messiah's been born? Now that is strange. I think we have to accept a sobering fact. What we regard as aesthetically proper means nothing to God. God's sensibilities are not ours. We pass a beautiful mansion next to a trailer park, and our sensibilities are violated. God doesn't seem to care. He sends an angelic chorus. He sends an angel with a journalistic scoop of the universe to the crude, riffraff, illiterate, unclean shepherds. What is our God trying to say to us? There are three lessons to be gleaned from the strange, sublime irony of our gospel. And the first is this. You cannot appreciate the Christ gift. You cannot appropriate the Christian gospel in full unless you first accept the strangeness of God and the strangeness of faith and the strangeness of life. God's Holy Spirit, God's angelic messenger, comes to a teenage, unwed mother and says, "You are going to bear the Savior of the world." And with wonderful, understated subtlety, Luke says, "And she was greatly troubled." Oh, really? It's not how they told her it would happen in high school biology. The Holy Spirit will come upon her and give her the Savior of the world. Now, this young lady may have been no more worthy of this announcement than the girl two doors down the street. But she was chosen because she could handle the strangeness of God. And when told this extraordinarily strange news, she says, "I am the Lord's handmaiden. Let it be as you have said." When her fiancé learns that his betrothed is pregnant, he does what any good and decent man is going to do. He's going to act with restrained discretion. But God sends a counselor to this young man, this carpenter, and says, "I know what things look like, but believe me, reality is far stranger." And this crude carpenter exercises the faith to believe and embrace the strangeness of God and the strangeness of life and the strangeness of faith. How about you? Has your life been one smooth upward climb toward progress? Or has your life perhaps taken its share of strange twists and weird turns? Have you fallen into a few pit holes and hit a few dead ends with your life? Have there not been times in your life when life seemed so strange that you cried out with Jesus, my God, why in the world have you forsaken me?" Do you not look upon your life at times and see the strange things that have happened to you? Things that have happened to you that you never anticipated, never expected, never wanted to happen, but they have happened. You cannot appropriate the power of the Christ gift unless you understand that the strange God of this universe is with you in your strange moments. The strange God of the universe is with you in those twists and turns. And you have to allow God the freedom to redirect you, to reroute you, to refocus your energy and passion in ways you had not anticipated. You have to allow God to reach you in your strangeness, in your successes, and in your failures. And expand your understanding, expand your tolerance, empower you to grasp new truths, that you could not have done by your own power. You cannot fathom the strangeness of the Christ gift. You cannot fathom the power of our faith unless you accept that our strange God is with us in all the strange moments of our lives. Second, you have to allow God the freedom to commingle the mundane and the miraculous. The Christ story is filled with moments where God mingles the mundane and miraculous. When God brings in temporary cohabitation the angels and the shepherds, there are those who object to the angels, there are those who object to the shepherds. Those who object to the angels are the modern people who cannot accept the reality of the transcendent. There are no angels, so this scene cannot be true. But let me remind you that angels are just another word for messengers. And in my life, God has sent a host of messengers, earthly messengers, but messengers who have provided me with God's guidance and mentorship. I have never met a heavenly angel, but I have met enough earthly angels to be open to the possibility of meeting one who comes from heaven. The truth is, throughout the Christ gift story, God is constantly commingling the mundane and the miraculous. Not just in sending angels to shepherds, but a baby to old people, the Holy Spirit to a teenage unwed mother, a counselor to a carpenter, a star that only the pagan astrologers happen to see and understand. There are all kinds of messengers that God sends into your life that bear the message of the miraculous. These angels might have cardboard wings. They might not have any wings at all. But God may send them into your life, intrude them into your life to deliver God's message and guidance and mentorship. Third, the sublime irony of our gospel is that under the strange power of our strange God, the mundane is turned into the miraculous. That God turns the common into the celestial. That's the story suffused within these words. As I say, that not only unbelievers who can't accept the idea of the angels, there are believers who really can't accept the idea of the shepherds because they believe God's gift ought to come to those who deserve it, who've earned it. The shepherds, unclean, illiterate simpletons that they are, no, they don't deserve an angelic choir. They don't deserve the news of the Messiah. They know it in the marrow of their bones. It is pure gift. Mary, that teenage, unwed Jewish mother, she knows she doesn't deserve to bear the Savior of the earth. It is a gift. Those pagan astrologers see the star that no one else recognizes. And they understand it comes as an act of God's initiative and as an expression of God's grace. when we grasp that our strange God gives God's gifts unto us, even though we don't deserve them, even though we don't merit them, then we begin to fathom the mercy, the strength, and the power of the Christ child in our lives. The most amazing thing about our passage this morning is that God turns the shepherds into angels. God turns them into messengers and sends them into Bethlehem to adore the Christ child and then go out into their world proclaiming, redemption has come. Isn't it strange that at every turn in the story, when the celestial comes to the common ask, why me? When the angel comes to Mary, it's why me? When the counselor comes to Joseph, it's why me? When the angelic choir appears before the shepherds, why us? And when God's messengers come into our lives trying to recruit us to be instruments of God's story, we wonder, why us? It is because the shepherd story is meant to be our story. It's not just what happened long ago. It is a paradigm for what is meant to happen in every generation. God's celestial message comes to common clay like you and me and says, become angels. Become messengers. Unto you is born in every generation a Savior who is Christ the world. Live peace, live goodwill, live joy. God comes into our mundane, menial lives and says, look up. And written over your existence is a summons to become instruments of the kingdom of God. Become angels. Embody love, embody faith, embody joy, embody peace, embody hope. The strange God of this universe recruits strange people like you and me who've lived strange lives to be God's messengers. Now, if that sounds strange to you, it ought to. And I'm reminded of a very intelligent young mother who wanted to raise analytical, logical, realistic children. And so she would not allow them to read fairy tales because they weren't real. But one day her children prevailed upon her to take them to the circus. And while they were in the big tent, an elephant sat on their car in the parking lot. When they got out, there was the animal trainer explaining and apologizing, I'm sorry, the elephant has been trained to sit on a big red ball, and when he saw your red VW bug, he thought it was just a red ball, so he sat on it and crushed the front. But it was a VW. The engine was in the back. And so the mother loaded her children into the bug and tries to drive home. She hadn't gone far before the police pulled her over and said, ma'am, have you reported this accident? And she said, officer, an elephant sat on my car. And she went home that night and took her children to the bookstore and bought fairy tale books because only they could prepare her and prepare them for the true strangeness of life. Are we common as the shepherds? Yes. Are we simple-minded? Most of us. Are we just regular clay? Sure. But our strange God sends a strange gift to us, and written over our lives is the summons: become my messenger. And when we live God's great themes, when we embody love, faith, hope, and peace, we in our strangeness become more like the Savior who summons us. And we are compelled to go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. May we pray together. Lord, may your strange gospel come to our strange lives. May you redeem us, and may we find your grace calling us forward to be your instruments. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.